perfect guy to get on the show this week, Seth Morales.
Duh.
The former Purdue wide receiver, greatest catch in Purdue football history. And Seth is with us now on the Wings Etc. Hammerhead Hotline. Good afternoon, Seth. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Doing just fine and dandy. So I'm guessing a lot of memories come back when you see on the calendar Purdue hosting Ohio State.
Absolutely. A lot of good memories, too. Looking forward to this weekend, and definitely I think the past experience playing against the Buckeyes always reminisce some good thoughts.
So when's the last time someone brought that play up to you and said, hey, Seth, what about the touchdown pass?
Pretty much every other day it's brought up, whether it's in person or social media. You know, I think it's something that's pretty still top of mind in a lot of Boilermaker fans' memories, and obviously it's something that we've held on to as a, you know, kind of a good opportunity for, you know, Purdue to kind of have that moment in time. So yeah, it's often, it doesn't go by without a week without somebody saying something. So I still enjoy it. It's still fun kind of talking about it.
Yeah, I was going to say. What's that feeling like for you? I mean, it's hard to believe, but I mean, it's been 18 years.
I know it goes by quick. I feel like just the other day I was up there making that catch, but the feeling's still great. You know, I think just being a part of such a great team and great set of players, including guys like Drew Brees, I think that opportunity was just, I'm tickled that I had an opportunity to just be a part of that group.
Seth, man, it's Stuart, great to have you on the show, buddy. I'm glad I could actually get you on the phone. I've been trying to get this guy on the phone for like 5 months, and he's been dodging me.
Come on, man. He's been dodging me.
Hey, listen.
Man.
I don't blame him for dodging you. I don't take your calls either.
You don't. Actually, you're the worst responder. Oh, no, you're good. You give me rides, man, right. So you're good. So, Seth.
Yeah.
What was the play? Walk us through what kind of, you know, obviously he throws the pick.
Yep.
They get the touchdown. There's what'd you say? There was minute 30 left, minute 40 left. You go out there on first and 10 before you break that huddle, because actually it was an incomplete pass to you before the play we saw. Walk us through what you guys were kind of talking about, what Bree said, and kind of what the mindset. Take us, the listeners, into that huddle.
I think when you interact with Drew in a huddle like that, it's business as usual. He's calm and collected. He had just thrown that pick, like you mentioned, so a touch rattled because I think he had four picks that night. So he was, you know, under the pressure, but remain calm. Guys are vets in the huddle from an offensive line standpoint. So, you know, those guys like Matt Light, Brandon Gorin, and the rest of those guys were going to step up. So I think it was just kind of a business as usual. We practiced, you know, 2 minute quite a bit, you know, during the season. So he was calm. And, you know, I was going out of that huddle like, this isn't coming to me because it's going to either Vinny or Staniford, because it usually, you know, progresses from those two guys as the first and second option, and I was the fourth. So I was just like, all right, I'll just run this route, see what happens, get back in the huddle, and see if I can make a play in the next one.
Yeah, talking about, do you remember the name of the play?
Yeah, it was Twins Right 74X Z Pole.
And when you saw Doss sitting there on that, did you know that, hey, I mean, were you waving your hand? Because I would remember watching Brees and that ball flying. I'm thinking, who's he throwing it to? And I see you just like, just flying with nobody around you.
Yeah, so Doss, he bit on the crossing route. So A.T. Simpson was over on the, it was Twins Right, so it was two receivers on either side, and A.T. was on my side, and he ran a crossing route. And Doss just took his eye off. Obviously, I think a cover two, and he bit on the crossing route, and I just snuck in behind him. So I had no idea that I had gotten behind him that deep. I just remember saying to myself, don't drop the ball, don't drop the ball, because I was so wide open. So that's all that was really going on in my mind. And the cornerback at the time, I think his name was David Mitchell, he was playing cover two, so he wasn't even close to me. So just kind of a freak accident where Doss, you know, misreads coverage and bites on something, and it worked out. I love, if you think about the play, Drew was so technical and discipline and going through his progression. I think that's what makes him so special. And we had a great line that held up and gave him time. So it's a great opportunity for me to make a play.
Former Purdue wide receiver Seth Morales joining us on the Hammer Down Show. You talk about discipline there, Seth. I mean, how about your discipline on that play? I mean, you left the huddle and said, well, there's no way this ball's going to me. You could have just, you know, you could have just jogged down the field. I mean, what about your discipline on that play? I mean, if you don't run your route, who knows what happens there?
Yeah, that was my difference maker. I think, you know, I wasn't the biggest or fastest guy on the team, and I had decent hands, but I could pretty much, I think, stay consistent and be very disciplined, and that was what I brought to the team that year. And so, you know, every route that I ran, I think I ran with a lot of effort. They typically kept me on the field more often than Stanford and Sutherland, because those guys would kind of gas out, and I could stay in and stalk block and do some other stuff that wasn't as maybe core to the passing game. So, you know, that was kind of how I kind of hung my hat on making the team and making that kind of starting role. But it worked out. I think just staying the course, running routes hard at all times, it proved that if you kind of just do your job and do everything with excellence, it'll pay off.
One thing I noticed too, looking at the game on YouTube today, when you got back to the sideline and Drew got back to the sideline, all of your teammates are like going nuts. They're all excited, and like you and Drew are like the two coolest guys on the sideline. Like, did you not know how to react? It was just kind of weird that you guys weren't jumping up and down.
Yeah, he was pretty chill. I was pretty chill. I came across a bunch of teammates just kind of giving me some hugs. And it was kind of surreal. I didn't know what had happened. I caught the pass. I remember thinking to myself, oh, my gosh, you just did this. And then, you know, it's just a lot. It just goes by really quick. So I just remember thinking to myself, oh, man, it didn't hit until later that night how significant that play was. And now, you know, looking back, it's more significant as I look back over the years. So that was just a real quick burst of not knowing anything. It was just a lot of stuff just coming at you. Just thankful for the opportunity. I remember Drew giving me a hug on the sideline. I don't even remember him giving me a hug and saying something in my ear. I have no clue what he said. But it was just, you were kind of caught up in the moment.
Seth, here's what I want to talk about here, and I think is going to be great for the listeners, because I talk about this quite a bit, and how hard it is to make a team when you're coming in as a highly touted recruit, five-star, you know, all this stuff. Walk us through how a transfer walk-on from Butler, undersized kid, you know, wanting to come to Purdue, goes from being a walk-on to that same year on a Big Ten championship winning team, catching 35 passes for 556 yards, two touchdowns, and being seventh in the Big Ten with 15.9 yards per catch. How does that happen? How hard is it? And what did you have to do to accomplish that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It doesn't happen often, because, you know, I think a lot of coaches look at some of these higher ranked recruits, and they want to give them the opportunity because they've put a lot of time and energy into recruiting these guys in. And so I think how it happens is a little bit's luck. You know, you get somebody like Gilbert Gardner, who I was competing with at the same time. And, you know, obviously Gilbert went on to do great things, phenomenal linebacker drafted by the Colts and did his thing in the pros. But, you know, there was a position that opened up from a linebacker standpoint, and I was able to kind of perform during camp that fall. So I think it's a little bit of just timing, having the right coach. You know, Coach Sumlin at the time was a walk-on from Verbuff High School here in Indianapolis. He started 3 years or 4 years, I think, as a linebacker at Purdue. So I think he was a guy that kind of appreciated somebody that had a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. And you know what? I think I competed well. So it was just one of those things with timing, I think having the right coach. And then obviously I think it worked out for me because I was consistent. I could catch the ball. And at times I think some of my other teammates, they had better tools, but maybe they weren't as consistent with catching. And so that kind of played in my favor for making the team and actually getting a starting role.
Seth, did you ever meet Brent Musburger?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. I wish I could kind of tie that loop up and kind of tell him how he kind of made a memory for me, but no, I haven't.
Because it was like, you know, Seth Morales and Holy Toledo. I mean, it was just
yeah.
It was just a classic call,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I could definitely kind of correct the pronunciation, but from time to time, I'll throw that up on YouTube or somebody will send it to me, and it still gives me kind of, it gives me chills. If you think about just Purdue and some of the bigger plays in football history, you got to think it's got to be up in our top five, top ten, just as kind of significant, like game-changing moments in the Purdue kind of memoir. So, yeah, it's just great. And having somebody like Musburger over the years, who's been such a great on-air talent, it's pretty cool.
Well, I'm just going to say this to the listeners. You know, with Seth talking about how he made the team, it's almost impossible. So I'm telling you out now, Seth is a guy who is a very humble guy, so I'm going to be his voice of reason here. It is almost difficult, and he worked his tail off to get to where he needed to get to be able. I played with Seth for 3 years. I have a ton of respect for a player that comes in. And Seth, don't take this wrong, but if you look at it from a number standpoint, really you had no reason to even be on the field during that camp, just because if you look at it from a recruiting standpoint and to do what you did, I have so much respect for you, and to be able to come in and get a starting position, and not only that, but be such a contributor, and then to be considered, I consider that the biggest play in Purdue history, because if Breeze doesn't complete that pass, we don't go to the Rose Bowl, and who knows where his pro career could be because of his draft status, because of where we finished, you know, along. I mean, you just never know what could happen. So I was really pumped to have you on the show today, because there are so many kids out there that don't look at how hard it is, even when you are a top recruit, to even get playing time and to do what you did and have the career that you did. I mean, it's really a credit to you, and obviously I love you and your family and your dad. You guys, I always enjoyed you guys coming to the games, and so I want those listeners to know that you kind of downplayed it a lot, but it takes a lot of mental, physical, and dedication to be able to even come close to what you achieved.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think, you know, you look at Purdue at that time, like especially in the skilled position roles, like receiver or defensive back, we were getting some really talented recruits, including yourself. I mean, top-rated guys. So, yeah, I think definitely the odds were stacked against me. I had to out-hustle, I think, most of the staff or most of the guys in my position. And I think that's where I think I had the edge, where I was able to kind of just, like, outwork them maybe in the weight room or study the film a little bit differently or just beat them in wind sprints and know that, you know, I was putting in some effort, but you still got to, at the end of the day, you got to catch the ball and you got to have some talent. And I had a little of that, but, you know, I had some good things kind of break for me as well.
Seth, great to catch up with you, man. I really enjoyed chatting with you, and tremendous memory for all Boilermaker Nation. No doubt about that. A tremendous catch and a tremendous memory. Enjoy the ball game coming up on Saturday, and always enjoy those memories, man. They're awesome.
Sounds great. Take care, guys.
Seth Morales. Seth Morales.
Morales.
As Brent Musburger would say. When we come back, great to catch up with Seth. When we come back, oh, yeah, we got two tickets to the Purdue football game. Woo! Ohio State, we're giving them away next.